will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is...
This is the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, holes!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Make a move and the money gets
it.
Dave's not here.
All right, Mona, all yours. Take it away.
Welcome. We are on Tuesday's edition of freedomslips.com's Adventures of a Feral Hippie here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Normally, we would have Cosmic Reality simulcasting today, but Miami got flooded out. So, since she lives in Miami and she's flooded out, we will not have Cosmic Reality joining us today. So, remember, we are listeners supported. That's right. Even when we are really saying anything, so it's not much you can hear, but still, just to the idea, we need to give thanks that we all are able to be on air, and that it is good to share the fiat expenses, because we'd rather not have to ask. We really would. But this is life at this time. This is life that I know. And I give thanks for Revolution Radio. I'm actually trying to look for a conversation, but it doesn't seem like I'm going to get one. But we'll see. I mean, you know, if anybody's got Skype, if you've got me on your link, if you like talking, please, don't hesitate. Because I'm just, I had to see that we have a 79 Schumann resonance. No wonder I feel like I'm not feeling right. We're supposed to be in the single digits and we're in the double digits. I mean, that's how much electronics is changing the phenomena. The fauna and the flora. And the other constitutions that hold this planet together. If it's the double digits now, we are all in a disharmonic stress. Just because of the earth and what we're doing to it. Between the cell towers and the flipping other crap that we do, like fracking and making earthquakes, take out the nuclear power plants in Japan kind of thing. Yes, we've been in through a whole bunch of, let's just do the planet in. That's right. Why not? We're taking everything. We're going to use it to the last drop. We'll take away its heart. Because that's the most valuable thing, is the unconditional love of life. Just cut out that Mother Earth's heart. She don't need it. F that bitch. Pardon me, but it just fit at the moment, okay? And I like female dogs. I've had a lot of female dogs, yes. But still, to the idea that nobody's been paying attention. Boy, this is a great video of all the different hieroglyphics. Wow. Mayans and Toltecs, and they all have the same symbolism. Which is really kind of interesting because we aren't allowed to know these kinds of things. Okay, the mystery bag is found all around the globe. Armenia. Could all these cultures be connected in some way? Could all these cultures be connected? Oh, Babylonian. Oh, I can't read that. BCE. Hittitelli. Just all kinds of them. Yeah, interesting. Iran, Egypt, dog, even the dog culture. Yemen, Bosnia, Indonesia, California, Peru, Tartarian, Colombia. That is just rather interesting. Mayan, Mexico. Oh, just interesting. Three different places in Mexico, but this is a Facebook link, so it's not that I can actually share it with you. Let's see if it'll say. It says link, so let me click link here. Oh, I can't do that because that's somebody else's wall and I don't want to do that to them. No, but it was really cool. If you would now, Chris, okay. Just cause, I mean, why not? I used to be able to get all kinds of way back in the day, you know. Okay. Because, let's see. Just conversation. Redo. He's one of those really smart people. Yeah, just, there was some kind of group in Florida. Okay, would you like to join me? I mean, you know, why not? I gotta, man. It's just that kind of day. Alright. Come on, Chris. I'll be kind. Even though we're friends, he actually came up to North Carolina to see me. So, I knew him in Florida. So, over the years, I'm gonna call you. All right. Go here. Go here. All right. Where'd you go? Okay, Chris. All right, now I gotta find it. For some reason, it just... Oh, because it's got a dot in it. All right, back up one more. Dot. Okay. Oh, M-E-N-T. Okay, well, that's it. Come on. Did you agree? Oh, how am I going to do this? Let's see. Alright, let's do this again. And do this. Let's see what this does. Come on, come on, come on. Did he accept me? Okay, for some reason I just got him as a thing on here. And they won't... I don't see it. Oh, come on. Nothing like live radio, right? Oops. Okay. Let's see if this is it. Let's see. All righty. Let's see. It says it's calling, so we'll see. Oh, it says you're unavailable, Chris. Huh. Let's Unavailable. Well, but you're... It says active now. So come on. Alright, let's try again. Go here. Go here. And go here. Let's see. So it's doing, it's calling, but we don't, it says unavailable. Alright, let's see what happens here. Why does it say you're unavailable? Ah, come on, come on, come on, come on. Available. Yeah, I apologize, people, but I must said it's Monday, but we had Monday yesterday. Oh, yeah, we had, at one time we had parades on Memorial Day. Veterans getting together everywhere, celebrating their war actions. And then, of course, there were ones who were fighting them. But, okay, I clicked into it and see your name and come in my picture on the screen. What? Okay, you need to answer the phone. Need to A-N-S phone icon. Is anybody hearing me? I don't think I'm not on. Let's see. All right. Well, Doc's here. Hey, Doc. All right. I'm going to try again just to see what happens. I don't know why it's not happening. Okay. Yes. And yes. Only 17 minutes for trying to see about getting somebody to have a conversation. It said, why does it say he's unavailable? Alright, so. Okay. Okay, then. Call me. Okay, but I can't. And. Okay, so missed call. I see that. So, let's see. Answering the call will place you on hold. Merge calls. Well, how do I merge calls? Okay, let's see. If I call him...
Let's turn the volume down so I hear...
There we go. Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
All right. Am I clear?
Oh, you sound great. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're better now. I had to turn it down a little bit.
Are you still in Florida?
Yeah, I am.
How's it going down there?
Same old, staying home with all this, the virus thing. But other than that, okay. Not too hot, not too uncomfortable.
Well, I heard that Miami was supposedly flooding out.
Flooding?
Uh-huh.
What, storm flooding or something else?
It would have to be storm flooding, I believe. Because I'm usually
ahead.
Simulcasted on Tuesday, another day, and it sounds like you're in a tin can. Are you in an empty room?
It's a big room, and you're coming through speakers at the other end of it.
I don't miss Florida except for the game. You don't need
You said you're in Waynesville. Is that near Asheville? We came up to see you that one time.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like up in the mountains.
Yes, it's beautiful. I'm not at the same place.
Oh, okay. You were living Were you living, sharing it with Karen?
Yeah. That was like 3 years ago now.
Oh, okay. So, are you sharing with her or someone else or by yourself or?
Oh, I'm in house with 10 different people and basically just not far from Karen, but I'm sharing a house with a bunch of other people.
Okay. Oh, 10, you said 10 other people that you're sharing a house. Okay. Well, how's that working out? I've always imagined sharing a house, you know, kind of like a sitcoms on TV, but never really worked out as well.
Well, the landlord has part of the house. We have upstairs at least, eight people. Or wait a minute, not eight. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 upstairs and 4 downstairs. But there's a 10th one coming. Because the downstairs is 2 apartments.
You're cutting off. I don't know if it's a microphone or something, but I'll hear the syllable and then it goes quiet. I don't hear the tail end of the word. I didn't hear the last thing you said. You were talking about the downstairs and then,
yeah, there's 2 apartments downstairs. So that's 5 people. And there's 5 upstairs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
2 dogs, 4 cats, and a goose.
What was that?
2 dogs, 4 cats, and a goose.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So menagerie. Well, animals certainly are fun. We've got a greyhound. And he's a lot of fun. We've had more than one dog at one time. And that's a lot of fun, too. It's just, it's fun, but responsibility.
Yeah, it is. So have you gone to the beach at all?
I could, but haven't because of the crowds. Since they lifted the ban, it's just the traffic is terrible. And, you know, if I were going to go to the beach, I don't want the crowds. You know, I think... But the way they should have handled it, instead, like, you can't go somewhere. It's just don't get in a big pack of people. That's when things start to spread, I think. But yeah, if I could go to the beach and just walk, park and walk, you know, I would. But, you know, right now it's just impossible to get to because everybody else is trying to get there. So, just, stay home, stay in the yard, take a walk every now and then.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. So do you actually think that there should be a 6-foot-apart kind of separation of each human?
As far as this is concerned, I don't know the answers to that. I don't know how much, you know, true information we get. Up until just a couple of days ago, I didn't know anyone who had it. And I remember back when AIDS was a big thing, I didn't know anyone who had AIDS. So I thought, well, you know, is it just in some parts or, you know, am I just kind of unusually disconnected or what? I did find out there was one person in my circle. He was on a cruise, and the ship got quarantined and all that, and he wound up getting it. He's back home now, got over it. So there's one person in my circle, you know, out of, I don't know, what, 300 on Facebook. I don't know. But, you know, from what I've seen in the news with the New York and, you know, all the refrigerated trucks full of people and all that, it sounds pretty damn bad.
Right. And,
my wife's brother got polio.
Oh.
That was a big thing back when that happened. You know, everyone was scared shitless over polio.
Okay, and but did he, if by chance it could be because you got the polio vaccination?
Did Miss, what was the question?
That is, at least getting polio was an aftermath of getting the vaccination.
Oh, from the vaccination or something?
Right.
Now he got it and got sick from it, got crippled from it, but then he fought back really hard and overcame it, and he did really well. You know, he not just overcame the illness, but he got rich. You know, he did real well. But he did have it. And he's got, still has vestiges of it, you know, and stuff like that. So it's real, but, you know, you can't see it. And, you know, it spreads in weird ways that you just don't know. You know, I bought, you know, when it first started getting serious in the news, I bought a couple bottles of sanitizer, which I never really used. Some little wipes that I never really used after a couple of them. They're just so icky. And then they dry out and you pick them up. And if it's dried out, it's just another rag. It's not any good, you know. And I've got a special lamp. You know, I spent about $100, you know, to repair. But then
we're going to have 10 potential breaks here, Chris. So we're at our first break, so you get a moment to wait when we get back, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
Or by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It is a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio! Radio.
is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh, yes. Now, I hope, Chris, I'm not freaking you out here, but this is a worldwide radio. We're called Revolution Radio, revolution.radio, and freedomslips.com. The station's been going for over 10 years. This is my 7th year for my show, and I'd love to really just remember and see what it's like now from the past when I was in Florida, because it's been over 10 years now. So I spent 50 years there. Do I still have you?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm trying to figure out what was that .com, the freedom, what is it?
We're Revolution Radio. Revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. You can come into chat if you come to freedomslips.com.
All right, freedom what.com?
Freedomslips.com. I can actually send you the link through Skype here if you want.
Yeah, send me the link because your voice is kind of muffled. I don't know why, but
it's just one of those days. Technology is strange sometimes. So I'll put it in your personal link here instead of the show one. Here we go.
So are you podcasting or are you on local FM or what?
No, we have FMs, but I don't know which FMs we have. We have TuneIn and all kinds of other places that carry us.
Are they live or does it go into a time slot?
Right now I'm live. You're live. It's a live show. We is talking off the top of our heads.
Oh, wow. Cool. So I'm on the radio right now.
Yeah. I do 5 days a week. Two hours a day. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what more I can add other than our experience with this virus thing. It hasn't hit close to home yet, but I don't know what to believe. You know, you hear so much stuff, cause they were like putting the numbers out on the website, and then there was something about the lady being fired, you know, cause the numbers didn't make the state look good. And I know I was in a situation like that a long time ago. I worked for a big utility. And my supervisor was trying to get me to put something in a report, you know, manually. It came out of a computer, but, you know, that would lend credibility to, you know, what he wanted me to put in there. And I wouldn't. And, I got some flack from it and, eventually left, but, so I know that happens. I mean, it happened to me. And So I don't know. I'm just hoping we get through this thing. And we got to open up. I mean, that's true, too. I mean, both ends of the tunnel are blocked, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you can't just stay home forever and you can't, you know, let this thing get out of hand either. So I don't know. I think they just need to be a little smarter about it. I don't see anything wrong with going out somewhere if you're not in a crowd. But once you get into a crowd, it's different. And it could be like at home. I have this idiot neighbor who throws parties all the time. And he's got 25 people in his backyard. I mean, he can do it during this thing, you know. So that could spread. So I don't know.
Well, from what I've witnessed to see from both sides, the virus is of how toxic our physical beings are. Because that's where the thing that they have labeled a virus, that's how it becomes. Because your body is fighting off all the toxins that we receive. So if you live a healthier life than at least the best you can, you should not get any kind of corona 1 through 19. Or a flu, because what they've done with the numbers is they've taken the normal count for each separate illness or disease, and they've labeled it coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, if they label things differently, that can affect the numbers. If they coerce people not to report things correctly, like, you know, the situation I was in, I was told to put something in the report to make him look good.
Right.
And I wouldn't, because it didn't come out of the formula. So, you know, I just want to type it in the damn report, you know. I'm not going to do that shit. And when you see people, you know, qualified people, I don't think they're out to screw anyone. I mean, this lady's a doctor of some sort, you know. She's not out to make a profit from this. She's trying to do her job, and she's fired for either doing her job or not doing what this guy tried to make me do.
Right.
That's bad. It's bad shit because we don't know the truth. I mean, you can't make an intelligent decision. What you need to do is listen to the experts, you know, listen to the science. That's what I say, you know.
Yeah, but some people are following Bill Gates, and he's, to my mind, one of the biggest deceivers ever.
I've seen some of this stuff about Bill Gates and 5G and all this stuff. There's a lot of bunk out there. I mean, people, what's really weird, there's this quote, I think it's attributed to Mark Twain, but it says it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled.
Right.
And that is so true, because these crazy things, they take root and they start, you know, people start spouting them and posting them and stuff like that. And, you know, when you think of it, it's really fantastic. How can this possibly be the Bill Gates, you know, the Windows, Windows had viruses, but, you know, the Windows guy, you know, is involved with trying to poison the world or microchip or, you know, these things, these conspiracy things are so complicated. There's another critical thinking concept called Occam's Razor or something like that, that basically says, you know, the simplest explanation is usually the right one. You know, that if there's something bad going on, if something going on, the simplest explanation, like someone's an incompetent jerk and he bungled handling things, that's a lot more believable than a vast conspiracy of scientists and rich people and foreign leaders all working together on some agenda versus someone just being an idiot. Being an idiot is a lot more believable. So anyhow, yeah, these fantastic things. I've seen them. I know a little bit about some things. The 5G thing I know is a bunch of bunk because I have been involved in telephony and communications and radio frequency. I know a little bit about it. And yeah, there's, you know, the people who talk about the dangers of that stuff, if they're really worried about what they need to do is give up their cell phones, because that's the biggest threat. You're holding that phone in your hand a foot away from your face, and it's putting out about 7 watts of power, which is kind of like a nightlight in a bathroom, okay, but constantly, you know, and it can cook your brain if you keep right up your ear for a long period of time, and that's the exposure you're getting. These towers, you're not anywhere near those towers. And, you know, there's, yeah, some strong waves coming off of them. They're way up high. You're not up there. You're not close to them. It's a distance thing. It's when you're close to something that it gets dangerous. So 5G is just kind of an expansion of that concept. Probably the simplest way of breaking. What's different between it and what we have now? I kind of liken it to, okay, you go to a concert and they got big speakers on the stage, you know, a movie or some kind of show, and you don't want to walk past those speakers, you know, up in the front of the stage. You don't want to walk past those things. They'll blow your eardrums out. But if you're way back, okay, you're all right. But instead of having a couple of big speakers on the stage, they're putting little speakers in the seats, okay? So you don't need the big stage speakers anymore, or, you know, you just listen to the little ones in the armrest of your seat, and it's not going to blow you away. It can't. It's just distributed. And that's kind of one of the biggest changes, the difference between 4G and 5G. And a lot of people can relate to that. You know, they've been in like a drive-in with a little speaker in the window or something like that, as opposed to like big speakers on a stage that, you know, everyone's walked past one of those suckers, you know how much it hurts. So, it's not any, that in itself is not any more dangerous. It's not going to hurt you. The big danger is your own phone. If you're really worried about this stuff, give up your cell phone. And if you're worried about being tracked, you know, like they talk about a chip, well, you know, people carry their phone everywhere. That phone, I mean, besides communicating, it's capable of pinpointing everywhere you've been, every minute of the day. That data is out there. As long as you carry that phone with you, that data is going up in the cloud. And they can research it, you know, if they're going to solve a crime or something like that. So you don't want to be tracked, well, give up your phone or leave it home or something.
The government is making out that it's through the Bill Clinton and, oh, I forget this other guy, I'll have to find it, but that they are going to set all this into becoming a martial law kind of deal. That, let's see, Obama and Clinton in the Ninth Circuit Court about surveilling and, you know, the my computer is taking its sweet old time. Okay. Circuit judge suspends Bill of Rights until coronavirus is cured. Now, I don't know how well of a actual, what you call it is. Let's see. Inside every progressive is a totalitarian, you know, screaming to get out. Okay.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, but I think, again, it's too fantastic. I mean, when you talk about, you know, why would these people want to do this stuff? You know, there has to be a reason. You know, they start to put Bill Gates or Bill Clinton or, you know, who's that other guy, the one that has all the money?
Bill Gates, Aaron, I mean, not
Oh, Soros, George Soros, he's a concentration camp survivor. You get those names pop up all the time. You wonder, you know, what are they really trying to do and why? You know, this doesn't make any sense. You know, like, all right, martial law. I think what's going to bring about martial law is those people storming in that government complex up in Michigan. You know, where the governor there, she was trying to, you know, trying to control this opening up process. And some things are shut down. Yeah, it's questionable. It needs to be discussed and figured out. But, like, all these people were going into the Capitol building with all these firearms. That's going to bring down martial law. I mean, that's going to scare the crap out of everyone.
Everybody's carrying them. How would it scare the crap out of them if they all knew each other had a gun?
Well, I don't know. It makes me nervous with a bunch of hotheads, you know, with all dressed up like that. Because out of 100 hotheads, you know, all you need is one that just really is unhinged. You know, or someone like an M80 or something like that. And, you know, I don't want to be in that crowd. No way.
There are different ways of voicing your opinion, but that was their way that they voiced their opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, you can do it. There's a lot of ways you can be heard. I just don't think that's a particularly good way to be heard. And it seems like, I don't know, the gun culture, just, I don't understand, you know, how people can be so paranoid.
What do you mean? Our country does it to other countries all the time. We take over this world by military force of bigger toys than what we have available that make guns look like snap guns.
Yeah. It's just, what can I say?
Gun rights.
If you have, I've got a friend, well, he unfriended me, but he was in my loop for a while, and he packs for dog walks and for going to the store, and, you know, I don't feel any need to be fearful of being robbed when I walk my dog.
I'm
a little different than him. Okay, you know, I look like a homeless person anyhow. if someone approached me, I'd ask him for a quarter, and he'd turn away. You know, that's how I would handle it. But as far as me taking the dog out for a walk or going to the store, I'm not so fearful that someone's going to, you know, pull a gun on me, nor do I want to be able to settled something that if I happen into it, you know, I think if there's like two people in one of those situations, which one's the bad guy, which one's the good guy, and the cops come in, you both get shot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't want to be part of that. So I think, but you know, he would care, and then he talks about it. So, you know, everyone in his Facebook circle knows he's got an arsenal. They know he's about 70, you know, and, you know, a couple of teenagers could surround him and take him down and get his gun off him and then go to his home and get the rest of him. I mean, guns are valuable. You know, if I were known to have weapons, or if I bragged about to walk around with them, I would feel targeted for that. That's the same thing as having fancy watches and jewelry.
I'm
70 something. I wouldn't be able to hold off a pack of teenagers. You know, they'd get that shit from me. So, you know, it's a false sense of security.
Right. I can see that.
Now, I mean, as far as having one, you know, if you needed it, if someone were to come in your house, I don't have a problem with that. But carrying the damn thing around, keeping it in the car, packing when you walk the dog or going to, especially, you know, putting it on display. Like I said, that's kind of like having a $10,000 necklace, you know, in a way. because some of those are pretty expensive. And like I said, you know, strap your back, you know, a couple of kids come up on you, grab that thing and kick you to the ground and take it.
Right.
So, you know, what's the point?
Oh, yeah, I don't see any.
And then, you know, the very few times when I have handled a gun, you know, how do I hold it so it's not pointed at anything? Because, you know, it's just always there. And knowing, you know, it's so possible, you know, for a round to be inside it, and even though the clip is out, and all these things you don't know, and then how can we see if the round is in there? Well, look down the barrel, that's pretty dumb. Pull it out, like the cock it, pull that, you know, if you lose your grip, the damn thing can go off, that's how accidents happen. I just am not having this, you know, carrying something like that around is like carrying around a can of gasoline. You know, you gotta think about where you're putting it, where you're leaving it. Freaking can of gasoline, you know, it's dangerous enough. You know, you've got one of the gas stations, think, well, you know, what if I fainted or something, or the fumes got to me, or you know, or I go in with hay and it's there, and you know, it's just. People just don't realize the danger of things. And, you know, it's not like it doesn't have its purpose, but to play with them, to carry them around, the, you know, and to get in these angry crowds, no, that's not for me. I'm not going to be in those crowds. And if I saw a parade of people like that walking down the street by my house, I'd be inclined to call the police. You know, doesn't look good out there, you know. I'm not going to go out there and wave mine around, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's kind of stupid, too. That's like walking down the block smoking a joint, and you know the cops are right there.
Yeah.
Now, I did do that in California, but I don't think I'd get away with it here or in Florida.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways people ruin their lives, and especially with the internet. They get recorded doing something stupid or saying something stupid. And I just don't know why they're so unhappy to begin with. I mean, really, the last 10 years, I've been reasonably happy. I mean, I've had ups and downs. I've had some difficulties. Most things are the result of my own choices and decisions. But I haven't been unhappy with things, and I tend to think of us as being very spoiled sometimes. You know, people, they don't want to be inconvenienced in the least. Like, well, the whole reaction now with the masks, they're turning that into a big political thing. Whereas, no, it's kind of a practical thing. It's not that much of an inconvenience. I've got a couple of them. I don't always wear them, but, you know, if I'm going into or if someone wants me to put one on, if I go somewhere, I will. No big deal. I put a little funny face on it and kind of make the best of it. But other than that, that's not an assault on my freedom. But you hear these people going on and on about it like it is. And, again, why am I so unhappy? I just don't get it.
Well, living in the Sunshine State doesn't hurt, because you always have greenery around you, right?
You had what?
I didn't hear you.
You had what in the Sunshine State?
You have sunshine. You're in the Sunshine State, you know.
Okay.
That makes a big difference.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you said something else. No, Florida's kind of crazy. California's kind of crazy. I guess we're sort of known for it. But as far as being really angry and upset, I've seen so many people just foaming at the mouth practically about a lot of stuff that's just really a lot of little shit.
Right.
And you know what I've been doing to feel better about what's going on? You know, I get concerned and, you know, really worried about the food chain. Because thing I heard was, okay, we haven't seen the food shortage yet. You know, it started with the tariffs. Okay, fuck up those markets. I'm sorry, we're on the radio. Believe me. Okay, but mess up those markets, okay, that's going to disrupt agriculture. But then, you know, now the disease and the packing houses and stuff. Well, you know, the reason we haven't had empty shelves is all supermarkets, I mean, all the restaurants shut down. That gives us about a 3-month buffer of excess food.
Right.
If they don't start those packing houses back up and get those crops growing in the fields again, we will have shortages. And you were from Florida. You remember how people were around the gas pumps, you know, when the hurricanes came here. Well, imagine when it's like, think of steak. You can't even get a piece of bread. You know, that's scary. I mean, that's when it does get uncomfortable when you can't eat.
And, yeah, right.
So, you know, what I've been doing to feel better in general, you know, while I was stuck at home, I've been watching the World War II documentary they put on Netflix. They did a really good job. They colorized all that footage, and they got a bunch of really good historians to document every move and every official and every general and the plans and the maps and everything. It's just really beautiful what they did. But it also brings home the absolute horror of what happened. And I just missed that. I mean, it's born right after that was all settled, you know. But,
okay, we'll be back in another 5. We're at the top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right,
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live.
Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit, and talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, The Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Chris, if you have a headset on, would you remove it for a moment, please?
Do I have what on?
Do you have a headset on?
No, I don't have one on. No, I'm talking through speakers.
All righty.
Do I need a headset or
what. Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so come to the homepage of freedomslips.com and check out the three different ways that you can help support and keep this station flowing. There's snail mail at the bottom. We have a one-time debit card, or you can become a Patreon. We really appreciate y'all for listening, and welcome back, Chris. I can only imagine what the beaches don't have, because growing up in Florida and seeing the beaches for 50 years after BP, it was like time to get out. The oil spill was one of the first rounds of taking away our livelihood, you know?
Yeah, what's weird is that these big stores are operating almost normally, and the little mom and pops are completely shut down. You need to figure out a way to balance that out. I mean, I'm glad there's something open, but, you know, I don't see why a small business can't operate. Well, I went to one this morning that I guess it's essential because it's always been open, but I had to get pool chemical. And, we just had to wait our turn to go in there. And, you know, it wasn't a big deal. I just stood outside, talked to someone, you know, 6 feet away. I had a mask on. They didn't. And, okay, so it added maybe 10 minutes, but it really didn't add any time because if we were all in the store, we'd still be waiting in line. So it didn't really make any difference. We were just outside, killed the time, and she went in, and she came out, and then I finally went in, did my business, and came out. Okay, and then, yeah, that is a small store, but I guess for some reason it wasn't shut down. But I've seen... I guess the restaurants got slammed, you know, which contributes to the food problem. Because, like I said, part of it is just you have this huge flow of foodstuffs coming from the big ag and the big fields and the imports and processing plants and everything. It's feeding a big pipeline. It's feeding all these restaurants and supermarkets and people cooking at home and everything. And then all these restaurants get shut down suddenly. And, okay, well, there's an excess of food for a while. And that's what I think we're in right now. So there isn't really any shortage. You can still go to the Publix and stuff is there, okay? But there's been so much disruption with these packing houses being closed and fields rotting. You know, that's another thing. They're driving away all of the fruit pickers. So I could never understand that. Why there was all this stuff about what are they called? Undocumented. I mean, who's going to pick the damn fruit? I mean, here we are in Florida. You know, we've got all these strawberries, blueberries, you know, all the food. Now that's going to create a shortage, but it hasn't hit because it's a big excess right now. And I guess, you know, it's not going to keep forever. And the pipeline's not being filled. We could get slammed in a couple of months with, you know, even the big stores don't have anything.
Right.
So, I don't know, people need to...
I agree with you.
Wise up. There's all this insanity and anger... And I like that I get back on the track with it on before. I don't know why people are so upset. The last 10 years, you know, they really weren't bad. I've been watching these World War II movies and people getting bombed and getting air raids night after night and tanks and everyone shooting everyone out there. I'm getting out of here, but my elders were over there fighting. That was pretty, you know, that was time to be unhappy. So I kind of look at those documentaries and I'm so thankful that, you know, I didn't have to live through that. And, feel pretty much pretty lucky. And I think a lot of our people are just really spoiled. They don't want to be inconvenienced with the mask thing.
Not an inconvenience thing for me. For me, it's because I don't want to breathe in my toxic air that I'm breathing out. And the situation is that'd be like me drinking my own urine. It doesn't make sense to me because I have been around so many different kinds of people and masses of people, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm fine. And I'm not going to say because of the mask or even this pandemic. I'm saying because each one of us needs a good immune system, and it's kind of difficult to have when we have all these GMOs and fluoride and vaccinations and other things like that that are actually more harmful to the human body. And the 5G is very dangerous. It's a microwave. It's not a radio wave. It's a completely different structure. And I think that's why Wuhan, which China never usually lets out any information, and here all this information comes out, it's just been too structured.
Yeah. Well, Mona, I think there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of paranoia.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The mask thing, yeah, I've never washed my mask. I only got two of them. You know, they're kind of nasty. But if it does not cause a ruckus by putting it on, I will. I understand the idea that really it's me protecting you from blasting spittle, you know, over you. And the 6 feet also helps. I don't have a problem cooperating with that stuff. Whether I think it's effective or not, I don't know. Who's to tell? The virus is such a sneaky thing, the way it spreads. And, yeah, I was terrified when it first happened. You know, we missed out. We canceled our trip. We bought a little bottle. So, you know, we didn't buy the store out or order anything. I just bought. I didn't normally don't even use it, but I bought a couple squirt bottles of the sanitizer and the Lysol wipes and stuff. And like I said, you know, I went partially through and then just stopped using them. You know, I didn't think they were doing that much good. But there's a lot of fear and paranoia, and I just don't know what stirs it up. I mean, like Mark Twain said, it's easier to fool people than convince them that they've been fooled. And all this conspiracy stuff, you know, that, like, well, the 5G, I mean, that's just, it's built on 4G, which is built on 3G, which is built on 2G, and a lot of that stuff is just radio waves. And we've had that since, you know, the 30s, radio waves in the air, and they're just different, because, oh, back in the day, like the wartime, it was all the short wave, you know, that was how people communicated, how the world communicated. That was the internet of your grandfather.
Right.
And so a lot of that's fallen by the wayside, but it's been replaced by, you know, the cell phones and in the 60s, it was TV. You know, we had all the analog TV. It saturated the atmosphere with really powerful waves to get those pictures, you know, of the farmhouse without being too fuzzy. I mean, there was a lot of energy in the air, and it's not nearly as much. You know, when they switch to the digital, it's hard to get the digital signal. You know, once it gets in, it's great, but, you know, you have to look for it, and it's a lot trickier because it's weaker. It's smarter, but it's weaker. And so there's actually less energy in that department. But then they gave a lot of that frequency and a lot of that energy to the telecoms, the phone people. And the phone people are doing more and more, you know, with the 5G, they're building on it. But like I said, it's the 4G to the 5G, that's like from going to the stage speakers going to the little armrest speakers. You know, it's not going to be more than it was, it's distributed better, distributed smarter. And that's probably the only way I can explain it where, you know, non-technical people would grasp it. But if you see what I mean, you're spreading it out. It's not really any less of it, but it's not any more either. You're just spreading it out. You don't have, like, you know, we're crossing the stage in front of that big tower, you know. They're getting rid of that. So I'm not worried about that. Then, you know, the stuff they put in food, okay, yeah, I understand the concern about the GM, you know, we're fooling Mother Nature, which is not nice. But on the other hand, we've overcome some serious famine issues over the years with smart farming. And that's part of it. The preservatives, the genetic modification, the mechanization. I mean, we've been really spoiled as far as food is concerned. Now, I'm not talking about spoiled food. I'm talking about we're being spoiled. Like, we're just, you know, they throw away more food than ever gets eaten just to keep it fresh so that when we do buy a loaf of bread or something, it's really squishy and fresh and made that day. And the ones that are 3 days old are out in the dumpster. And some people are getting them out of the dumpster and it's good food.
Yeah.
So we're spoiled in that sense. And I feel very lucky that we have the system we have, but people take it for granted. And
it is. It's just amazing about
the If they start questioning it, like, well, another thing, yeah, the fluoride in the water. Well, and the water travels through miles of nasty old pipes that they've got to keep some way to keep that water from getting all nasty by the time it gets to our faucet. And so they put a little something in it so it comes out running free and clear. And I've drunk that water for 70-odd years and never had a problem with it. And then you look at the, you know, film strips of people still struggling with jugs of water in Africa and stuff like that. And we're so lucky we don't have to live like that. I just don't know what upsets people here, the Karens, you know, the ones that just, I guess that's the meme that's going around right now, the Karens, that are just so spoiled and demanding and unhappy about everything, and really it's been a piece of cake. Our whole life, you know, we've had it so easy. I'm not saying, you know, I grew up poor or rich or anything. I had just strictly middle class, public school. But, I never really faced any hardship. And we have some of it in this country, and we need to address it. But even the hardships that people face in this country are not like they are in some other parts of the world.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know, as far as, you know, these things going on, you know, chill. It's not the end of the world.
As we know it, right. Yeah, as we know it. So you're not seeing any more, like, traffic in the sky of jets from the Air Force base?
Yeah, I've heard things about that. I did look up at the sky one time and saw the streaks, you know, and then, yeah, it's kind of odd, so many of them. And I posted the picture and just a little mild comment, you know, I hope that's just water vapor, you know. But a pilot friend of mine who knows a lot about aviation, he's an amazing, bigger-than-life person, he flies all over the place, you know, just completely put that down as, you know, it's just water vapor. And it's just the conditions in the upper atmosphere that get to a point where it condenses quickly and it hangs around for a while. And it's not usual. It's not the average situation where it just goes back into pure vapor and disappears. And it's just thermodynamics. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot of layers of atmosphere. And no, it's not really aluminum pellets or something where they're going to try to control us. Again, chill. Our imaginations are so active, and we've got so many good movies. You know, Netflix is one of the best things I've ever bought into. I mean, I like history and stuff better than fiction, but I mean, there is fiction out there. If you really want to see some strange worlds, there's plenty of stuff to watch. We don't need to make it happen. What really gets me are these people who sound like they're really wanting a civil war. They don't think about it. The way I look at it, okay, they're wanting it like you can't wait for the movie to come out. But that movie starts, they're not going to be changed channel. And I think that you get real tired of it after about 24, 48 hours. I mean, that's a really gut-busting, you know, work without, you know, hot meals and grid goes down and we're in a heartbeat, we're back in 1800. You want that? You know, those people make me really...
That's when you're going to need the guns that you don't want to have open carry, even though you want people to know that you will hurt them if they come and attack you. I mean, we might get down to that stage of existence, Chris. I've never seen to think that we would
take
this tyranny. This is medical and political and social tyranny, what we're dealing with right now. I had children. I had healthy children, et cetera, et cetera. They were loved. They were taught. But the last, probably since my granddaughter's age, they just weren't as taught. Because like you said, we become spoiled because, you're hungry, drive over there for a minute, pick up a soda and some french fries or whatever, you know what I mean, go on your way. And people just don't realize the sidesteps that create more damage than good because people live by a whim. Not the idea of what it's going to be to have this and what are you going to do with it and then what are you going to do when you're done with it. Because nobody stops to think about when you're done with it. You know, how many cigarette butts are on the beach? How many
the environment is another thing that everyone seems to have forgotten about now with the virus. But, I mean, the virus, you know, that's plugged up one end of the tunnel. But we need to start taking this environment seriously because
The temperature thing, you know, the rising temperature, the plastics, the garbage, the plastics are in the food chain now. So right. We're actually doing things that have little chunks of these long molecules in them, and our bodies are going to have to adapt to that. And we're being affected by this. And when you talk about poisoning the air with 5G and stuff like that, but people don't seem to get... Why are they rolling back all the regulations now for the clean air? I mean, there's 100 different regulations that are being totally unraveled in Washington that made the air where we could see across the lake or see across, you know, you see the mountains in the distance. They're wanting to undo that now. And what's to be gained by undoing that? We've been so spoiled. I remember that far enough when the air was bad, because I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. We were close to New Jersey. I remember how that place just stunk. You know, anywhere near it, you know, you just couldn't breathe.
Westinghouse was there, GE, and the steel mills. Oh, yeah. Three Rivers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we need to think about the environment. We need to think about the climate change thing. Again, we depend on the scientists and publications to know what's really going on, and we depend on the media and the news people to tell us the truth. And there's always biases. There's always different opinions, but there's also different sources. You need to listen to multiple things. But I keep hearing that, oh, we had a record temperature yesterday or something like that. You think about how many times you hear that phrase, oh, no, the record's been broken. To me, that tells me something's going on. If a record is being broken every week somewhere, you know, with a higher temperature or whatever, it's going to get to the point where we can't fix this. And then what are you going to do? Because... there's nowhere else to go. There's no planet B.
Right.
Take this seriously and certainly not unravel the things we have done. Because I remember, like I said, the air in New Jersey. I don't ever remember bad water, but, you know, from what I've seen and heard about Flint, Michigan, I mean, that problem's still not been fixed.
Right.
What was that, 5 years ago that was all in the news and they haven't fixed it? It's unthinkable. It's the United States of America. I mean, can't let things like that continue.
Well, because humans have no real value. Because the situation that's playing us as stooges believe we have no value. So no matter that, we pay into the system to help cover the cost to keep things running, they're stealing off the interest. And not even on the principle.
Yeah, yeah. Anything, I'm no expert on it, but what I see and what I read, it's just getting more and more concentrated in fewer hands. And one thing that I can get my arms around, I worked in computers for most of my career, so it was always my job to make someone else's job easier with the assistance of the computer. But it's been my experience under the management I was working under, and just what is considered to be normal, it didn't work out that way. The more things got computerized, the more training you needed, the more specialists were needed, the more complicated things got, and a lot of the really simple problems never got solved. And I guess bringing up one of the people we were talking about a while back, Bill Gates, I always was amazed at him how he got his foot in the door with all these big businesses, because he sold them that Windows, that powerful Windows software platform that really didn't make it any easier for anyone. You had to worry about viruses.
You had to worry about, you know, calling tech support when the keyboard wouldn't connect up right, or the printer wouldn't print even though it's right next to the computer. And nonsense like that, those problems never really got adequately solved. And he made billions.
Right.
And the business people I would expect to have a more hard-nosed attitude, you know, show me how this is going to really improve my productivity. I worked at a couple of big utilities. Like I said, you know, one of them where they wanted me to put out some false information. But I remember walking in the marble floored entrance, you know, in the front door, and you go into the walk across that marble entranceway, and in the back there'd be a pretty girl behind the desk, you know, the receptionist. And she had this big computer and this big printer on there with about like a Ford truck's worth of software on it that, you know, she would never use or need. And you turn around and look over at the security guard, you got the same damn thing. Pardon the French. Yeah, the same setup, you know, a computer and printer and all this stuff. And all you need is the badge you got. Maybe not even the gun, just the badge. But he had all this equipment. So corporate America got sold on all this really expensive stuff that I don't know that it really increased productivity that much. If I
were to get the last break, we got the last break here, so we'll be right back.
Okay.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing
to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
I have a chat open, so I'm reading what's going through the chat. And somebody said they went to the VA clinic to give blood, and they would not wear a mask, so they were denied entry. And that just kind of like makes you wonder, you know, when you're actually trying to do a humane thing, and they're going to deny you. They could put you 6 feet away from somebody else or whatever. Maybe did you have the test while, Bob? Did they test you to see if you had the virus? I mean, I won't donate blood again, ever. No. They're just changing everything. Are you with me? Yeah, there he is.
Yeah, I know. I had an appointment VA canceled instead of a phone appointment. Because it's basically a discussion of a blood test. So I was fine with that. And when I went to give the blood sample, I had to go through a little hoop thing, you know, with the masks and thing. But yeah, they had to test me. It wasn't a test, but it was, you know, like the thermometer thing, you know, on the forehead. Yeah, I went through a few hoops, but yeah, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, they're taking precautions, and like I said, these things are subtle and they're tricky. And how did this person get it? They never went out, but no, that's not really the case. They talked to the mailman when they got their mail, or some little thing they totally forgot about, where you know the virus jumps over that bridge and spread. So we don't know enough about it. And like I said, I was really afraid of it in the very beginning. I'm getting a little more relaxed about it. I'm not saying skeptical, but okay, it didn't hit me or my world yet. Anyhow, but I'm not certainly not going to ask for it either. And right. If the experts say do this, do that. I'm talking about PhDs. I'm not talking about people with one office. I'm talking about the people who really had to work hard and get through school. They know this stuff. And I'm going to listen to them. And if they're a little overcautious, well, so be it. It's not like, I sort of remember, you know, back in the day, in my career with the big fear was the Y2K, the computer thing.
Right. I was going to ask you.
Okay, I remember that really well. And I made a ton of money. I was very busy. And I remember the requirements were often that, you know, something happened here. It was never a date. It was always a version or incompatibility or some kind of little systematic buzzword, you know, that would not mention a stupid century or year. And the whole reason for that was so the higher ups didn't have their heads rolled because they knew about
They knew the stuff was coming for 30 years and they were planning ahead. And I was in the midst of it, fulfilling specs with companies that it was like 1999, and I still had to put a piece of code in the system that just had a two-digit year thing. And no, they're just going to bite them. Just going to bite them, but, you know, I have to do it now and move on because that's in the spec, that's the order. And so, yeah, it's cover-up, cover-up, cover-up. And then the news media and people who didn't understand the technology would go on about it. There was all kinds of fear about planes falling out of the sky. And,
not hitting towers and buildings or anything, right?
What was the question?
Not hitting any towers or buildings, right?
Yeah. But things were going to fall out of the sky and microwaves wouldn't work. And that was a bunch of bunk. Those things don't care what the date is. They don't really care. They burn the fuel and keep flying. Or keep, you know, cooking your frozen vegetable. You know, it didn't care at the time. What was impacted was checks. Checks that came out, you know, to pay people, to compensate people, to bills coming in, revenue. That stuff was all messed up. And we worked very hard to make sure we got everything done before the midnight struck, but it wasn't. There was a lot of stuff missed. It had been going on for too many years and too much irresponsibility, too many short-term goals like changing a report to say something that wasn't true rather than go in there and accommodate the sentry in the date fields. A lot of really crazy stuff happened. I saw it happen. But it wasn't in the areas you didn't have the dramatic stuff, like I said, you know, planes falling. It was just late checks. I was impacted. I didn't get a license plate renewal that year. And I never noticed it. I just drove until I got pulled over. And I've been living in the same place for over 40 years. I always renew those things by mail. And I couldn't believe, well, how's this thing 2 years old? I renewed it, I think, for 2 years. I didn't get the renewal. But it never came. And I'm quite positive why it didn't come. And that's the only thing that bit me directly because of that. But I understand it completely because that was just so prevalent. The thinking, the software, and it goes back to when computing and resources were so expensive that putting extra plates in there, the whole 19 all this time, the heck with that. Let's just assume it's 19 and just hold the last two. And there are probably some things that are going to cause trouble 100 years, well, not 100 years from now, 80 years from now. There are probably some things that are still running, maybe not the same machine, but it'll be running in something that emulates that machine. That was another big thing in software. I mean, once the code was written to do something and tested and trusted, they didn't want to screw with it. You really did not want to disturb that. I mean, it's one of those things, that ain't broke, don't fix. And so it's a machinery change. They would just take the software and put a little wrapper around it and make it run in a newer machine. And it'd be the same 1950s, 1960s thinking going on in that little piece of code. That's quite common. And I think it's not gone, but Then a lot of people were saying, well, you know, the planes didn't fall and the satellites didn't crash and things did work. It was all a hoax. It was not a hoax. It was misunderstood. Plenty of checks got messed up. Plenty of mortgages got late fees or showed that the bank owed the homeowner money for all these years. And weird things that would come out of it because the math was all backwards.
Right.
you take and subtract years, get negative time, you know, it does some funny things. But like I said, that was mostly in the financial world. And it had a big impact, and a lot of things happened, a lot of things were covered up, but you didn't have the dramatic movie screen of fireballs and things falling and exploding. So that's the way that went down, and it's kind of people misunderstanding the issue, the fear.
I believe that we're getting a whole bunch of truth through mass media's information, do you?
You were a little muffled. Were you talking about the media and mass information? Are you talking about like...
Yeah, like it's really the legit information, because that's usually what we're seeing, is that is causing the fear and the separation.
Oh, the fake news and the deceptive, yeah. Well, one thing I keep telling people is when you see a meme roll by that is just typed, okay, it's typed and it's got a pretty background with arts or water waves or something like that, but it's just typed. You can sweep your mouse over it with a button and see that somebody typed this. Okay, likely that is something that someone in your circle or close to your circle typed and posted. But they just type and post it. It's just their opinion. Now, if you see one of those things where you sweep your mouse and, no, it doesn't pick up the letters, it doesn't turn blue, it's a picture of letters, okay? It's literally a graphic. Those things often come from far away. And, again, somebody made it, okay? They did the same thing. They typed it. And look for the grammatical errors. They're definite. Grammatical errors give away English as a second language. You look at them closely and, you know, they've got the there mixed up and, you know, stuff like that. You know, they didn't grow up in the U.S. That's Ukrainian. You see those things, but again, someone just made it and posted it. Doesn't prove anything.
Right.
Another thing that is a pet peeve is something that looks like a newscast, but it's on YouTube. Well, YouTube is, again, someone can make their own movie. They can put anything they want. They can put screenshots of things that look like Fox News or...
I know, right?
Or Russia Today. Now, that's another one. Russia Today. That's interesting because look at them and see who they're agreeing with. That can shed a lot of light on a lot of things. Because you know they're sponsored, you know, they're going to have a little bias, you know, from the Russian point of view. And they will pick up things on either side, but it's always interesting to see how they take it. And then consider that bias. And, you know, things get overblown. They definitely get overblown. But you want to look for reputable news sources. And all these things that just scroll by that come from YouTube, or someone typed it in, or typed words over a picture, of some nasty-looking picture with someone making a frown. You'd be a very good person, but it's just they had a bad day, and someone got a picture of it. And you type misleading words over it. People have a tendency to just believe that stuff, like it's right off the newsstand or out of the Holy Bible or something. They just believe it. Like Mark Twain said, it's a lot easier for them to be fooled than to think, hey, wait a minute, think about that. You know, if someone just typed that, that was a picture from 15 years ago, some other place, you know, some other situation, or it came from YouTube, where you go, you look at the author from the YouTube and see all the other little clicks they made, and they're just all equally ridiculous.
By society. It's a drive-through society. People are not...
Yeah. Drive-by shooting, drive-by get your news from scrolling by on Facebook. And that that does present a huge problem that I'm just hoping the powers that be try to fix it honestly. I don't think that was... what's the guy's name? Facebook... Mark Zucks. I don't think that was
his intent to mislead people. He was a bright college kid, had a brilliant idea, and it took off. Not the only person who could have made something like that. Facebook looked like crap compared to MySpace. Like, MySpace was beautiful, and I don't, you know, something killed that. I think there was some kind of foul play with that, because that was a lot of fun. I don't know if you remember that one. But, again, people can get out there and communicate in ways just unimagined. I was never a big letter or postcard writer when I was young. I didn't keep up with relatives very much. You know, it was just, I'm kind of too lazy, really, to be honest. But that comes along, and it's just so easy to stay in touch with old friends, far-flung family, new friends, people you think are friends because the name is similar, you friend them, and, oh, that wasn't the first time I think of you, but you leave them in your circle anyhow, and wish them a happy anniversary, and so that's how I am with Facebook. So it's a lot of fun, but it can certainly be used for some evil. And as far as people trying to use that medium, and Twitter, I'm not active much on Twitter, but I think Twitter is even worse.
Right.
It's so easy to spread misinformation, and like my old boss said, that utility, that, you know, if it comes out of the computer, it gives it more credibility. Yeah, I know. It's not from the formula, it's not from the calculation, and I'm not going to put it in there because you just made it up. So, again, people are using the computer to give something authenticity.
Well, they've got to know discernment, and then they've canceled out critical thinking and common sense.
Yeah, critical thinking, common sense is a biggie. They don't teach that. And it's kind of like you can't fix stupid. There's some things you can't teach either. And the critical thinking, there's methods that you can apply.
Right.
But common sense, yeah, I think you have to be born with that. Critical thinking is, you know, basically, you know, how could this be true? And it's so wild, you know, come on. You know, how can this really be true? And you really start thinking about it, and then you think, well, how fantastic. It would have to be for all these scientists in different countries to be saying that the Earth is warming at a certain rate, and they have some kind of a bad motive. That, you know, they want to take advantage of humanity somehow and do some evil. Yet they all agree, and they speak different languages, and they're all over the place, and they're up against maybe a handful of people who may or may not have store-bought PhDs or whatever, or no credentials, whatever, who are trying to say they're wrong, or they're trying to mislead. And if you look at it, the question, you know, why would this be? Why would all these people be lining up to say this? And on the other hand, what could be, oh, no, this person just wants to sell a bunch of coal or something, or this person wants to make someone else look bad, or this person is just a bumbling idiot. That is a lot easier to accept because it's so much simpler and so likely to be true. So that concept, you know, whatever is the most likely explanation is most likely to be true.
Well, people gravitate to what they feel safe about. And that's why the masks and the gloves and the cleaner and the other things like that is supposed to help make us safe. But it doesn't make us safe. It makes us less natural or less nature, whatever.
You're talking about pharmaceuticals?
Well, all of it. The hand sanitizer, you can light a match to it, and you can, the alcohol will burn off of it. But the whole thing is if you have that on your hands, what's the other ingredients in it that is ruining the hormone balance of your body? Because it's not something your body would be normally accustomed to accepting. So it's fighting the chemicals of the hand sanitizer and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I stopped using that stuff, you know, not unless I really
I mean, I was afraid to touch a gas pump, you know, and all this stuff for a few days, you know, really scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. See all those body bags and refrigerator trucks in New York, and said, this is really bad, you know. And like I said, I kind of escaped polio, but I saw what it did to my brother-in-law. So now, yeah, I kind of step back and say, well, it's not that bad, but it's still there. And these things do spread in weird ways, and I'm not a doc. I understand data, and I understand some critical thinking and some statistics, but I know that can also be manipulated. And apples and oranges can be compared. And when they fired this lady who made the website for Florida for the numbers for the counties and stuff like that, I look at that critically thinking and say, why would they fire this PhD person who's built this thing in the first place? It's beautiful and respected and heavily utilized. Why would they fire her for doing that?
I don't know who you're talking about.
The easiest thing to understand is, you know, someone didn't like the way it made someone else look.
Well, yeah, that's true. That happens a lot.
And had that guy had more power over me at that utility, I still got forced out of that utility eventually, and he was part of it. But had he had more power at the time, I would have been out before that weekend, probably. Because it was something that if this number didn't get printed, it would look like, okay, we didn't make a certain environmental requirement so we could get fined. We're supposed to self-police. And all those reports go into the records and everything like that. So, you know, you want to have a number changed and a little footnote put in there to kind of explain something else that was not what it should be with an innocuous excuse. That was cheating. It was basically cheating. And I'm glad I didn't do it. I would have felt bad. And whether it would have caused a big ripple or not, I don't know. But I mean, I am for doing things truthfully and scientifically, logically. Well, that's another thing. I had kind of a neutral opinion of religion growing up. I was never super, super religious. But, you know, the basic precepts were there. Be nice to people. You know, just be nice to people. That is really all boiled down to. Now I kind of look at it, you know, this is really evil. Some of these things these people are saying are just evil. And if I were religious, I would say, you know, that's a devil speaking. But I'm not, so I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, either that's been going on for a long time and I was never aware of it, or things change. I'm starting to think the former. It's just been going on and I just never thought about it. The use of the church to support slavery back in those days. Did you ever read any Mark Twain books, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer?
Oh yeah, Huckleberry Finn.
Huckleberry Finn, you know, remember Huckleberry saving Jim, the runaway slave?
Right.
And the whole point of that story, I mean, all the beautiful imagery and everything, but the whole theme of it was how the church was being used for evil to support that, because Huck had to make the decision whether or not to turn Jim in or keep him alive on that island. And by deciding to keep him alive on the island and help him escape, he was committing a sin. And he said, all right, I'll go to hell then. And he went ahead and saved Jim. And, you know, people, it's funny, you know, when you talk about those stories and stuff, they just see the N-word and things like that in the dialogue and think, oh, he was a racist and we got to ban those books. No, those are beautiful stories. Probably the least racist person ever to use the word to someone else who says them over and over, and they're not true. But yeah, that's the gist of that. The church was supporting this evil institution all along.
Yeah.
And
it's all between the Pope and the Queen. The money that rules all the BS, at least the ones that we are able to see, of those that have the power of the dollars to infringe this upon us.
Yeah.
It's good versus evil. It's synthetic versus organic. It is a complete, I can say it's probably kinds of revelations. And I'm not a big Bible person at all. But things are being revealed, and we are looking and finding out more about ourselves from these situations and occurrences that have been implemented upon us. And the whole situation is where do you hold your soul? How do you use your heart? And where is your brain when it's all happening? You know? That's how I feel about it anyway. We've got about a minute to go. I really appreciate that you came on to play.
Yeah, really interesting talk. I hope you send me a link to the podcast.
Right, if I'd have to put it on video.
Yeah, send it to me
I'll see you again about it.
Listening to Revolution Radio.